How many of you were in chapel this morning? So, okay, good. All right. You in good shape? All right. I want to welcome you to this in our series of lectures for the Institute of Christian Worship. Our guest today is Jason Harms from Minneapolis, Minnesota. He's the founder of the Jason Harms Quintet, a group of young men who make jazz to the glory of God. And it's a great pleasure to have them here. Other lectures this afternoon and tomorrow at the same time. And then an evening concert tonight in Heron Hall at 7:30. So we hope many of you can take advantage of that. Let me just lead us in a word of prayer. Lord, we do give you great praise and glory. We worship you as the one true and living God. We thank you for revealing yourself so clearly in your word as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray that as Jason leads us in thoughts today, that your spirit would really be our teacher and that we could be submitted to your holy word. We pray that you would give us open ears and open hearts to be vulnerable to you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the joy of music, the beauty of the artistic expression of your glory. And we just thank you with great praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Help me welcome Jason Harms.
Hello. Thank you. Good morning. I guess it's afternoon. I will say that I probably would feel more comfortable if I had a guitar on my lap. This is my first actual lecture, so I seriously covet biblically the praying of the saints that the Lord would show up and reveal where my heart and where, you know, in all of our hearts, reveal what is not pleasing to him and help us to grow in the knowledge of God. To grow in the knowledge of God assumes that we're not there. Otherwise, there would be a, congratulations, you have grown, you know, and there wouldn't be the exhorting to grow in the knowledge of God. And so, I think what might be maybe most effective is just some testifying of in my life how it's a beautiful thing to pursue, to hunt after the Lord. And he disciplines those he loves. It's a good thing. If you are feeling the discipline of the Lord in your life, man, thank him for it. And thank him. You don't have to map out necessarily. You don't have to be able to connect all the dots in, I see how, and I see how, and I see how, and I see how. But what you do have to do is, as we heard this morning in chapel, is have a heart that says, Lord, it was good for me. Because before I was afflicted, I went astray. But it was good for me to learn. And so let the Lord be let the Lord determine how best he has for you to learn. And I want to let him determine what's best for me, because he knows me. He made me. He knit me in my mother's womb before I was even alive. And before I had any comprehension that there was a God. All my days were written in his book before one of them came to be. I would do well to listen to my maker and to push after, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you lead. And give me grace and give me humility and give me eyes to see a God that I've never seen yet. Chip asked me to push a little bit on jazz, and so I said, okay, thinking about what has helped me in running after God when I find myself in a style of music, which is all that it is. Music does not have life. There's no, God did not breathe life into music, right? There is no soul. Music, art, anything is an expression from somebody's soul. Okay? What's the soul expressing? Is the soul expressing towards the Lord, or is the soul expressing towards self? I mean, when you boil everything down, it's either for God or not for God. When you get to the bottom of it. And so, rather than kind of picking off all these things and then ending up at God, I just want to jump down into, let's start at God, that we might be able to see more clearly and discern maybe where our understanding of what the Lord has made and given us has or hasn't been beneficial to us, probably from the perspective of, because I didn't have eyes to see it. You know, looking into a before an affliction. Do you have your Bibles? If you have your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 119. Probably 66. Psalm 119, verse 66. 65. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good, and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. So he's coming on the, he's at the backside of, I've experienced some type of affliction. And he's saying, Lord, it is good for me. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord. You've dealt well with me. I've just gone through an affliction. You've dealt well with me. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Now see, I was believing in your commandments before, but I understood them only, you know, with the youthfulness of the non-experiencing, how when my father gives me a spanking on the rear, how he's loving me. All I can see before that spanking comes is the wrath of the hand of my father, you know? But afterwards, it yields what? It yields fruit. It yields fruit. And as you grow up and you go, whew, am I going to discipline my children? I see how it was good for me that my father disciplined me. My earthly father disciplined me. So it was good for me that I was afflicted with the hand upon my rear. I did not appreciate it at the time. No discipline is pleasant while you're in it, but it yields fruitfulness. Well, that's what he's saying here. Okay, Lord, I'm growing towards knowledge in you, so teach me good judgment, teach me knowledge, because I believe in your commandments. I have seen that they have been true. So teach me in that direction. So, looking at music, let's just even forget about jazz. Let's just take a broader scope, music. If you find any pleasure in music, there's going to be certain things that certain styles that when they hit that little eardrum in your ear, go, ooh, that's pleasurable. And certain styles, when they hit that eardrum in your ear, you're going to go, that's not too pleasurable for me right now. I don't understand it, maybe. Then you go and study music, and you learn what is going on. Maybe the scale is even non-Western scale, a scale you're not familiar with. And you, so do you dismiss it right away that it's not music? Or do you say, let me humble myself and realize that the fullness of God's glory was not demonstrated in me, but he made other people. And so as he is the author of all these people, if I'm interested in learning more about the author, I would do well to study what he has authored. And so let me just back off a little bit and pursue God. Teach me judgment, good judgment, and knowledge. Teach me more of you as I listen. So then you might focus in on a certain style and really apply your mind. Lord, show me. And you get to study the people. You get to study the culture that birthed that music. And you get to see things that are different from your culture. And then what happens? If you have eyes approaching, Lord, let me see more of you in this. He'll show you more of you. Because he's the author of it. Nothing exists except that God has commanded it by the word of his mouth, spoke it into being. And everything that was made out of nothing. All of our flesh. He created the earth, picks up this dust, molds it, goes, there's life. You know, anything that we create, we don't have that that ability to go, life. God reserved that for himself, and he was pretty wise in doing it. Otherwise, we would all be arrogant gods walking around, more than we find ourselves to be once we start pushing on, you know, on what really motivates us. So, think, okay, music is different, and in that difference demonstrates a spectrum rather than just a two-color black and white view. It represents a spectrum of, wow, the Lord is, he's really creative. If all that we heard was Tooth and Nail Records, you know, as I see that on your sweatshirt, we would miss out on so much. And if all we heard was classical music, we would miss out on so much. It's with design. It's with design that the Lord goes. In fact, when I create, I'm creating all kinds of people, and I'm demonstrating skin color. I'm demonstrating that even though everyone, you know, in general has two legs and two hands, two arms and a head, nobody is the same. No one's identically the same. You might even look similar, but your personalities are polar. At polar ends of the personality range. And I think that demonstrates to me that God is an amazing author. His creativity is so deep and so wide. I can't get to understand the fullness of him in just looking at one of his things that he has made. So, narrowing down music now, down to a particular style of music that to my ear brings super joy to this little flap of skin. That's all it is a flap of skin inside my ear. However the ear works. I think it's the eardrum that works as the receptor. And if that's not it, cut me some slack as to how the ear really works. But I find that when I hear something that's just swinging really hard, man, my whole body responds to that. And it goes, that was beautiful. It was so beautiful. And another person, maybe even in this room, might go, okay, I, it's all right. It doesn't make me leap for joy as does this style. And I'm asking the Lord at this time right now to grant us grace. God, would you grant us grace that we would have a perspective of, God, I want to know more about you, and you are the author of us all. Why is it that when I study a man's writings and find it to be pleasurable, I will want to study everything he's written? When I find Ellington's music to be pleasurable, I want to listen to everything he recorded. I want to look at all his works. Because in doing that, it brings me closer to Ellington. And it brings me closer to understanding what he was thinking, what was driving him, what pleased him. And God, I pray that we would have eyes to see that that model is before us, especially in a studious country and in a setting of academia. It is a model for us to understand, as you desire to learn more about Ellington, Jason, by studying every piece he's written, so you will learn more about me by studying everything that I've written. And you are the author of everything. And so God, give us humility. Help us to be able to step back and just say, God, show me more of you. Let me understand that the fullness of you was not demonstrated in me. The fullness of your creative genius was not applied when you made me. And let me understand also that you were saying something when you made me. You were saying something. And so help me to understand what you were saying, because I want to know you, the author of my soul, and my life, and my mercy giver, or the one who will pronounce judgment upon me. And I don't want to hear that. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at Daniel a little bit. And I want to testify how Daniel's experience, which has nothing to do with jazz at all, jazz was not even around, how Daniel's experience helped free me in, man, I feel like the trajectory that my life is in, Lord, that you're pushing me towards involves jazz. I feel like that's part of the trajectory. How do I handle myself in it? Because assuming it is not evil in and of itself, a sound is not evil in and of itself. It's not what goes into the ear that defiles a man. It's what comes out from the heart, because from the heart come all sorts of slanders and evils and murders. It's what comes out of the heart. I could sin and lead you all towards sin in the vehicle of jazz as the carrier of whatever my mouth is trying to say. Or I could push you towards Jesus, jazz being the vehicle. So hear me, that's where I'm at. That's the perspective I'm coming from. I'm going for the heart. Jason, what's the heart here? So looking at Daniel chapter 1, we're going to start right there. How do you navigate through this world when this world does not attribute God as the most beautiful thing? You find yourself in Chaldea. And this country is a godless country. They have many gods, but they don't have God. So capital G dash less. They are a godless country. They do not recognize Jehovah as their maker. Let's read. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance, and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned to them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king, who assigned your food and your drink. For why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king." Then Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you. And deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king spoke with them. And among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, the king found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. So you find yourself as Daniel in Chaldea. In fact, you're a slave. You're in the court now of the king who doesn't love the Lord. And he says, "You are going to be trained in the literature of my country, in the language of my country." Daniel resolves, "I will not defile myself." And that's where you got to be. You have to be where Daniel is. You have to say, "Lord, help me that I would not defile myself." Because we're all living in the world, and there are gods of idols of many kinds, false gods of many kinds. And you have to say, "Lord, lead me through these waters, that wherever you have put me," because it says, verse 2, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. That's where the Lord put him. He finds himself there because the Lord put him there. Well, that's where I am. So as I'm finding myself now studying this literature, which doesn't point to God, leads me away from the Lord, Lord, I'm going to trust you that as you have me to study this literature, that there's a reason, and I'm going to trust you to keep me, that I would not sin. Keep me that I would not sin. I don't have to know yet why you're wanting me to study this. But what I have to know is faithfulness. That's what I have to know daily. I have to know faithfulness to the Lord. So what happens? Daniel, the issue comes up. Man, the Lord teaches us in the law some food practices. And so I'm not to, I'm to abstain from things, and I'm not to eat a certain way. And that way is presented before me. And he has to commit at that time, Lord, your ordinances are not to do this. The king's ordinances are to do this. Who do I fear? Who am I going to fear? I'm going to fear the Lord, is what Daniel chooses. And what happens? The Lord grants favor and compassion. Now, the eunuch says, no, fellas, I'm going to lose my head. I have a job here. I'm going to lose my head if I don't turn out healthy fellas. The Lord is able to grant compassion upon those with whom your mind fears, if I don't do the way they want to do, you know, I just don't know how it's going to turn out. I know it's against the Lord, but I'm going to choose to fear man rather than God. But the first thing here was the Lord dealing with Daniel. Daniel, here's a test. Are you going to defile yourself, or are you going to trust me and let me handle the issue? And he goes, I'm going to trust the Lord. The Lord grants favor. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A little bit down the line, what happens? It comes to the point of the king says, everyone bow. When the flute, the harp, the trigon, the lyre, my Bible says the bagpipe. I had no idea bagpipes were. Dulcimer? Okay. When you hear this music, bow down and worship that thing that I just made. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no. The king says, what? What's going on? You will fall down, or I'm going to throw you into the fire. And what the fellows say, you know, I don't have to answer you on this. But I'm going to. And no, my God is able to deliver me. They are testifying that their soul understands that God is able to deliver. And that's what they're resting on. God is able to. And then they say, but if he doesn't, I'm not going to disobey my God. They resigned their bodies over to the Lord, that whatever would glorify the Lord most, let the Lord be the judge of that. Let the Lord be the judge of what my body is going to most glorify him in. So what happens? The Lord could have delivered the three fellows right then and gotten glory. They can go through the fire and their faith be proven and strengthened. Because can you imagine being in a fire and not being burnt at all? Coming out not even with the smell of smoke on you. I mean, what would that do for your faith? Would you not walk out and go, wow, he just led me through the fire. Who is this God? It's for the growth of his people and for the testifying to Nebuchadnezzar, who then sees, who is this God? Did we not throw three guys in there? Four of them are walking around. One looks like an angel. What's going on in there? And Nebuchadnezzar comes out and says, let's see, where is that? Chapter 3:28. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted. You seek after promotions in this life, and you think the fearing of man will get us there. I mean, that's how I'm wired. I'm thinking that to fear men will get me promoted. The Lord does it by fearing God. And in humility and respect, saying, that's against what the Lord has commanded me to do, I'm not going to do it. You know? Being Jesus, being gentle to them, respectful. If you got to be firm, you got to be firm. But what happens? The Lord promotes them anyway. Because Nebuchadnezzar saw, whoa, the God that they believe in is grander than the gods that we believe in. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all his people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs! How mighty his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. So, I'll stop there and let me testify how that has helped me in pursuing where I find myself to be in a field of music. Let's just start there. In America, we live in a climate where everything's bought, and there's this push to make music for the purpose of that will be my provision. And so I enslave myself to that kind of thinking, which leads me away from trusting in the Lord. When I enslave my mind towards the ways of this, the world says, this is how it works. Where that is different than what the Bible says, this is how it works. You know, it's like trying to plow with a knife instead of with a plow. I'm trying to plow this field by pushing this little knife out of my own strength rather than letting God be the ox and hearing him say, Jace, my yoke is easy and my burden's light. I'm going to plow for you. Get behind that plow. Hold on. I'm going to break some sod here. When you hear me now unpack, I'm in a trajectory of learning the music. I'm not speaking at all from, I've found it, I've landed it. I'm in a trajectory of learning this music, and I love learning this music. And so where I find myself today at 34 is, that's part of my life. So Lord, help me not to defile myself in this. And grant me the faith to let you have your way. Maybe it means personal pleasure, and that alone, with the music. Maybe that's what it means. Meaning, my house, my family, you know, a couple friends, get together Fridays and play a little bit because it's pleasurable. Maybe that's the end. Maybe the end is part of it, going somewhere and testifying of the mercy of God in my life, and the vehicle being this kind of music. That's His prerogative. That's not my issue. That's up to the Lord. I want to be found faithful. If He says, I give you 10 talents, be faithful with those 10, I want to be like the one who's the faithful one and says, Lord, I sold this. I sold these 10 talents, and it yielded me another 10. And He says, well done. And if He gives me 5 talents, I want to be faithful with that. And say, Lord, I sowed it, and You provided the blessing on it, and it yielded 5 talents. He says, well done. If He gives me 1 talent, I want to be, Lord, You gave me 1 talent, and I sowed it, and You provided the blessing, and it bore fruit. And I want to hear Him say, well done, rather than, You only gave me 1, and I know what kind of exacting God You are, and so here it is, here's the 1, and to hear Him say, wicked, you know. To hear Him say, wicked, you didn't apply it. And I also don't want to be the kind of worker who says, well, He only gave me 1, how am I going to equal myself with the fellow who He gave 10? And have that be my perspective, that in the pursuit of 10, I lose the 1, and I don't even have anything to bring, because I wasn't faithful with what He gave me. What are you guys in this class? Is this preaching class? Is this music class?
Worship
in church?
The practice of Christian worship.
The practice of Christian worship. Find yourself faithful in the eyes of God. Which means, I got to know this, you know? I have to know this. I got to push on this. That whatever He's put me in, how can I discern between, as I'm studying the literature of musical culture in America, give me discernment, Father. First, that I can see there's nothing that is except that You have given it to us. And help me understand that music is a vehicle. It's not life. You didn't breathe life into it. You breathed life into man. And it's an expression from the soul of a man. So help me discern between men. I've been blessed by so many. I've been blessed towards the Lord by so many people who openly unacknowledge God as the giver of that gift to them. In spite of them, in spite of where their heart is, where their motive is behind giving that, man, my eyes have been opened to God. But that only happened once I started yielding judgment first and started asking the Lord, Lord, show me more of You. In seeing then God through a man, a woman, who does not acknowledge God as the giver of that thing, it gave me, rather than a judging mind towards them, it gave me a mind of, oh Lord, it would be so sweet if they got to see You like I got to see You in them. And it helps you know how to pray. It helps you know how to go after them, you know? Pray for them. You don't have to meet them ever. You can pray for them. That's the strongest thing you can do for a man, is to pray for a man, that he would see God. And let God be the answerer of that prayer. So maybe this might be a good place to see if I've even coherently push towards a direction and see if in that direction has brought up any questions. It doesn't even have to be a question, just a comment of, you know, I see that to be true, or I don't see that to be true. You know, push me on it. Because I don't care that my word stands at the end of the day, because my word is not going to stand at the end of the day. It's the Bible that stands at the end of the day. And for my benefit, I want to be in tune with the Bible. Right there, is there anything? Yeah.
Just tell us more about like what you do as a jazz musician, and specifically like how you put this into practice.
To study.
Repeat the question.
Oh, sure. Can you tell me what I do as a jazz musician? Some practical things that I have done that evidence kind of this thinking, applying this thinking. Well, okay, if you look at a chart, a score, a piece of paper, and you lay it before the band, if they have not heard what swings, they will not swing an eighth note. My mind, when it sees eighth notes, black on white paper, in Western culture, says it's straight. Dun 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 dun. Right? And so I'll lay a chart. I teach at Bethel University. I direct the jazz orchestras up there. So you know, you lay the chart down, and to the ones who listen to jazz, they know what that says. When it says we're swinging this, is something different than what it says, which it looks exactly the same. But it says something different when I'm in the room next door, which is orchestra. Okay? So the only way you get there, though, is by listening. And so you have to listen. I encourage them. You have to listen. You will not understand this just by doing some math equation of take your eighth note and carve it into three triplets and only play, carve it into triplet and only play the first and the third. You'll just sound like math, is what you'll sound like. The only way you'll get it is by listening. So go listen. Well, you look at our canon of jazz music, and there's really not a whole lot of testifying, whether in the liner notes, in the lyric, if there is a lyric. There's just not a whole lot of testifying of, there's something better than me here, and that's being the one who made me. You know, in any kind of performing thing, the temptation for pride is just huge and right there. And so I tell them, listen, you got to know this music and study these fellas and apply your mind to discern, is this honoring the Lord, meaning his action? Is he a proudful man? When you listen, don't embrace that, because it's not going to help you. It's not going to help you run. It doesn't. To this one the Lord will look. To him who is humble, who is contrite in heart, and who trembles at my word. That's the one that the Lord will look to. And I want to exhort you, I tell my students, you know, I want to lead you in that direction. Learn how to swing. Because if we're not faithful in the swing here, we will have evidenced that we were not good students of it. We did not apply ourselves well. The Lord has given us a disciplined desire and a disciplined mind, and if I slack off in that, I'm not finding myself to be faithful. I'm like the one who says, Lord, I know you're exacting, and so with that one little grain of discipline that you gave me, I didn't want to lose it, and so here it is back when I didn't apply it, and I didn't bring you anything back from it. You know, you must apply what he's given you. That'd be one way how I apply that. Did you have a question?
Yes. Do you, with the quintet, to keep yourselves from becoming prideful, or what you were talking about, do you guys have accountability as a quintet? Do you guys pray together, study the music together, the devotions together?
The question being, do we as a quintet, in wrestling towards fighting against pride, you know, what kind of accountability do we have? And we get opportunity to have a lot of downtime. Driving, flying. We kind of work together in different, Jesse and Wally both have been working at Bethlehem Baptist. So they actually get application time that Steve and I don't get together. Steve and I get lunches together at Bethel that they don't get together. And so there's this common, hey fellas, let's run towards learning more of God. And we have a lot of opportunity to do that. Do we have Friday morning at 8 o'clock that we all meet for Bible study? No, we don't. We have Friday morning at 8:30 that we all meet for rehearsing. In the rehearsing, Lord, would you grant us today understanding? You've given us an hour and a half here on which to apply our musical disciplines that we might learn how to be more faithful, learn how to work more as one together, and would you give us a mind to understand that? And I recognize that unless the Lord builds this house, we labor in vain if we try to build it. And we don't want our labor to be in vain. So God, come, meet us today. You know, and that'll kick off a question, it'll kick off a question that then we push on in the week. So that's how it more plays out. It would play out with us as far as the quintet. Because we all have different gigs as well besides this.
Yes, in a word, could you tell me what the next hour is going to be like?
Sure.
Does somebody want to join us and
sure.
What we might look at tomorrow at the same time?
Sure. The next hour, I want to be more unpacking, testifying of, man, so this is the means by which the Lord cracked me over the head and said, Jace, pursue a trajectory of this, of me being the end of the trajectory. And you know what? Jazz is going to be a very heavy mix in that. And so I'm going to crack that out a little bit more. And then tomorrow, we'll see how the Lord leads, but I think at this point, I might want to throw out some wrestlings that I'm wrestling on, trying to get some dialogue around art for the sake of what? Art for the sake of art? Is that the satisfying end that I'm really after? Is jazz for the sake of jazz? Your favorite style of music for the sake of the favorite style of music, you know? So I wanna probably push on that a little bit. That's it.
Good. Thank you. Help me.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Those of you who weren't in chapel, this is Jason's brother Jesse plays string bass. David Ward is playing saxophone with the quintet. Big guy back here, that's Wally.
Brad.
From Minneapolis. And Steve Gould is playing drums. Wally plays keyboards and Steve plays drums. And we're just so thrilled to have you guys. Great. We're going to take a little break and start again right at 1:30 with the next lecture. Maybe you're obviously welcome to stay. We'll try to get some papers for me.